The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. He holds the mountain in his hands, and his love reaches to the depths of the earth. The heavens declare his glory. The skies proclaim his beauty. And still, you have redeemed me. You have called me by name. I am yours. Awake, my soul, for your faithfulness endures forever. I will lift my eyes, for you are my help. I will lift my hands to praise you. I will lift my heart, for you are my salvation. I will lift my voice to proclaim all you have done. I will sing. I will dance. I will lift up a shout. I come to worship you.
We want to welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan Podcast. We want to say thank you for joining us again. Remember, next week we are back in person meeting, so please remember to call or to Facebook us and to book your seat for a service either at 9 and 11 o'clock. We can't wait to see you. But this week, again, we are here online, and we want to say thank you for joining us. Let's begin our time of worship with prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you for your love through the mess. And Lord, you have been faithful. Lord, again, I think of all this COVID time that has gone by and all the ups and downs and all the shutdowns and startups. Lord, you've been there through it all. And you've been faithful, and we want to say thank you for that. We want to say thank you for the blessings despite the curse. And Lord, the way that you've been able to hold us together when it seems like the world has fallen apart. So Lord, we pray that you'd just be with us today and that you'd lift each heart that is listening and that you'd encourage each soul, we pray. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this first song Allison chose today, guys, is going back a little bit, but it's a pretty neat song in the sweet by and by. It makes me think of some of the saints that have gone before me, and it makes me homesick for heaven. So let's sing it out.
Over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there
in the sweet
by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore
in the sweet
by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful
to do once in a while, and I just like the rhythm of it. It's a fun song to do, but it also has a truth. You know, sometimes we go over bumps, we go over bridges, we go over hills, and sometimes there's obstructions along life's railway. But we know the conductor, we know the ending, and he's there waiting for us as we sang with Sweet By and By. And I know if you know this song, just sing it out. And I just really love this one.
Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, the fields and tunnels never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the thy praise forevermore. You will roll up grades of trial, you will cross the bridge of strife. See that Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life, always mindful of obstruction. Do your duty, blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. You will often find obstructions, look for storms and wind and rain on a field. Trust alone in Jesus, never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the praise forevermore. As you roll across the trestle, spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you behold the Union Depot into which your train will glide. There you'll meet the superintendent, God the Savior, thou wilt guide us till you reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. Where the angels wait to join us in thy praise.
You are not alone if you are lonely. Right now, I know with the restrictions as they've been and different things happening all over the place, up and down, back and forth with shutdowns and everything, I'm sure there's people that are feeling alone, even Christians. And we are never alone in Christ. If we know him and have accepted him, and we know that there's others that are like-minded, and, you know, we're not alone in that. And I'm so excited that we're going to be able to meet again, and I think church is really important in person, and that we need to see each other and to praise and worship together. So if you remember this song, sing it out. This is a newer one that we've been doing, and I just love Zach Williams' way of telling a story. I know there's certainly been times in my life where maybe I haven't been looking directly at Jesus, or maybe even listening to what he wanted me to do, but he was certainly there. And as I look back, he was always there. And so this is what this song is about. His words have held true through the ages, and I hope that you hold on to those truths, those ancient words that have been passed down to us through sacrifice. This is what this song is.
Hey, we want to welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan podcast, and I am so excited. This is the last week that I will be recording alone. Next week, we are back to in-service meetings, and I'm praising the Lord. I miss people. I miss corporate worship. I miss your faces, and so I am so excited that on the Digby campus, we're going to be booking seats. So please remember that. Next week, July 4th, just call the church and book a seat. We're still limited in the numbers that we can take, so we're doing two services, and then we'll see how it goes after that. But it's so good that we can finally get back to meeting in person. Well, guys, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. And last week, we tried to emphasize this importance of the spoken word, or if this is fitting, the importance of the unspoken word, right? And to remind us of the power of prayer, to remind us of the spiritual ramifications of that discipline and taking part in the act of prayer. You know, it should be impacting us on a personal level. It should be impacting our families, our homes, our communities, and those who are around us. We are called to intercede, right, on one another's behalf. And my prayer is that we would always be a church that would be part of intercessory prayer, right? That we'd always be praying for one another, lifting one another, encouraging one another, challenging one another, and doing battle in the spiritual realm on one another's behalf. So again, I hope that you've maybe been stretched and challenged in that idea of prayer. Well, today, again, as effective as prayer is, I want to talk a little bit today about knowing your enemy, right? One of those things that amazes me is this dismissal of the idea of evil, right? And I've seen it over the last decade, and it's kind of amazed me. When I talk to people about good and evil, when I talk to people about the Lord, it seems like the world is pretty comfortable talking about a higher power, talking about faith, but they're not interested in talking about the devil or this place called hell, right? They don't seem to want to acknowledge consequences. They don't want to acknowledge that spiritual battle. And the only reason that I can think of is that it makes people uncomfortable. And I'm sad to see that. I mean, it's interesting. We look at pop culture and this idea of the devil, he's become a little more of a punchline for commercials and maybe a little more than a comic book villain, right? But that's kind of come into the church a little bit and gotten some traction, which is kind of scary to me. Like, when was the last time you heard a message preached about the devil? Or when was the last time you heard a message preached about hell? And it's amazing to me that even in the church sometimes we seem to want to avoid that, right? We don't like that conversation. That conversation makes us uncomfortable. And again, that's no reason to dismiss it. In fact, there's a great danger, in my opinion, in dismissing that conversation, right? If we are called to be warriors, you know, when I think back to all the sports teams that I played upon, we played and did way better when there was a game plan, when we knew our opponent. And that's no different, right? That's no different than you in the spiritual realm. You should know your enemy, right? And when we think that this is not a game, I mean, we're playing for keeps. How amplified should that understanding be of who we fight against, right? And so I want to ask some questions, you know, today and throw those things out to you and talk about some of those basic Christian beliefs or some of those spiritual principles. And you know, I would hope that even as I was asking questions this week, you know, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? When it comes to the idea of the enemy, that your understanding would be way greater today than it was even a couple of months ago when we started this series, because it's been on your mind, right? As we've been throwing that ball back and forth, I hope that you have been growing in your understanding, because that's what we're called to do, right? I you guys know my pet peeve is kind of lazy Christians, right, who don't know what they believe or why they believe it. Well, we should be on edge there. We should be learning. We, you know, heaven is filled with understanding if we would only take the time to seek it. And so I hope that you're doing that, right? I want to spend some time in this idea of knowing our enemy. And let's go over some of those differences between God and the devil. You started this last week a little bit, right? We used these big terms. And last week we talked about God is omniscient, but the enemy is not. Now, what does that mean, right? Well, again, last week we kind of tried to draw that out briefly. But this idea that God is omniscient, he knows all. And because he is our creator, he can connect with us on a deeper level, even to the point of knowing our thoughts, right? God is omniscient. He can know our thoughts. He knows all. But the enemy is not. So that's kind of interesting. When we talked about that last week, we said, you know what? We need to be mindful of our thoughts and be mindful of our words, even those words that we whisper. And I said, you know, one of my habits is if I'm struggling with something or if I have an issue that's going on in my life, I bring it to God the Father in silent prayer. I don't even want to whisper that because I don't want the enemy to be given any information that can be used against me, right? And so most times my habit is this, is that if there is something that I'm struggling with or feeling that I know I want heaven's attention on, well, then I am silently praying about that so that, you know, God the Father and all of heaven is coming to my defense and we're fortifying an area that the enemy may not even know that I'm struggling in, right? So that it's already underway, this process of healing and reconciliation. So it's kind of one of those things, right? We need to use our words wisely, be mindful of what comes out of our lips. Why? Because God is omniscient, but the enemy is not. Well, on that line of thinking, right, I wanted to bring some more of those principles out. Again, big words, God is omnipresent. What does that mean? God is omnipresent. Well, God can be everywhere all at once. And that's hard for our limited minds to understand because we are bound by time and space. That's the only existence that we know, right? But God is not. He's just that big. So of course, when we are lifting our praise to heaven here in Digby, right, all of heaven rejoices with us and God is here. His presence is here in the Holy Spirit and we are loving that. At the same time, he can be on the other side of the world, right? Like I've got friends in Australia, right? And they're sleeping, but guess what? The presence of God is with them while we are worshiping, watching over them, because God is not limited by space. He can be everywhere at once. Well, that is not true of the enemy, right? They're not omnipresent, right? So that's interesting when we start to look at that, that they must travel from one place to the other. They have those limitations. And so, you know, that is an interesting thing to think about and to know, and as we pray, to kind of respond accordingly, right? Like, we pray for those brothers and sisters when we hear of persecution in other parts of the world, right? And we need to be doing that. We need to be praying for brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, but we need to understand that those attacks are very different than the presence of God. Like, God can be all places at once while the enemy can't. Another thing that I kind of wanted to just touch on this morning would be God is omnipotent. And what does that mean? Again, another big word. God has ultimate and unlimited power. I always get a kick out of those questions that seem to come up in theological classes. Is God so powerful that he could make a stone that he himself could not lift? Right? And I giggle at that because what is the relevance of that question? The answer is always yes. God could choose to limit himself even though he is all-powerful. And you know what? We saw that in him coming to our rescue, Emmanuel, God with us, that God would come in the form of a child, right? That he would need his mother and his father's direction, and he would need their discipline, and he would need their help, you know, and you look at how Jesus came vulnerable even unto death. Well, of course God can choose to limit himself, but God being omnipotent is this great big idea that he is ultimate, that he has unlimited power. Well, the enemy does not, right? The enemy doesn't have unlimited power. Now, does that mean that we should play with the devil and his minions? No, of course not. We don't need to fear him, right, or demons, but because they're no match for God. But you want to be sure that the enemy could, if you take it for granted, make short work of you, right? We got to remember the origin of demonic beings. They were angels, right? Angels that chose to rebel. But angels are incredible beings. They're high above lowly man. The only reason that we have access to angels and their help on our behalf is because they, like Christ, have chosen to serve us. They submitted to that role of serving mankind, and the demons said no, right? So they followed Lucifer, but make no mistake, they're hell-bent on our destruction. And when we think about how high above, you know, an angel would be than mankind, we better respect
you know, the idea and the power of demonic forces. Right? They find nothing more pleasurable than hurting you. Again, they can't attack God because he is omnipotent, right? As ultimate power. They can't sneak attack God. They can't hurt God. God's already won this battle for mankind. So what is the enemy doing? They are trying to hurt you. That's the only way to hurt the Father. So while they don't have unlimited power, we need to understand that they're very powerful, right? And when you're under attack, again, this idea that most times you're going to be under attack by demons, right? If Satan can't be everywhere all at once, right, that means that his forces are spread out around the globe doing what they do, right? And every attack of the enemy is strategic because they're limited in their resources. But even that knowledge alone should make you sit up and pay attention and be aware that if there is a battle going on in your life or in your community, will take note of that. With limited resources, there's a reason why the attack is coming your way, right? And when you're in the devil's sights, it's interesting, but usually it's because, the devil has sent demons to disrupt your faith. So several times in Scripture, it's kind of interesting when we look at the names given to the devil, given to Lucifer, he's referred to as Beelzebul. And there's several times in Scripture where they talk about that name, and that name is kind of given to him as the ruler of demons, right? So that demonic activity is coming from a commander, right? And that is your enemy, the ultimate enemy, Satan himself, Lucifer. And he is doing his best to strategically attack the church and to strategically attack the people of God. And so that's interesting when we're mindful of that they are spread out, right? And if you have an encounter with the demonic, right, you would never dismiss that again. And yet so many times in the church, I see people who are willing to try to ignore that or dismiss that activity in the spiritual realm. Right, I've again had several encounters with the demonic, and one that you've already heard about—that demon floating over one of the teens at camp. Right, that translucent being with red glowing eyes, and then it flees through a wall. Right, just disappears through a wall. You don't forget moments like that, right? It's amazing to me. Like once that has happened, once those manifestations have taken place in your life, you will never dismiss them again, right? Like speaking of those glowing red eyes, there's two other moments in my life where individuals, it was a bit interesting, but demon possession, again, we've talked a little bit about that, right? It has to be something that you're willing participant in, but individuals who, in a moment's notice, like you were flicking on a light switch, their eyes were glowing red, and this growling, incredible, crazy voice that was not of man coming out of those individuals, right? And then as quick as it turned on, I've seen it turned off, just again, like a light switch, right? It's wild to me. I remember Doc Taylor teaching a spiritual conflict resolution class. And one of those classes that was amazing. And Doc Taylor was a missionary to Haiti. And of course, Haiti has a long history of demonic activity, right? That voodoo and Satanism, all those sorts of things. It's kind of an interesting place in the world. But he has stories that makes the hair everywhere in your body stand up. It doesn't have to be on your neck. But he has captured things on tape that you just, when you view them, it is shocking, right? And they're very uncomfortable. But you know where there's rituals happening and people are dancing around a campfire, and every time some certain individuals in the circle come around, you can hear demonic voices like gurgling from them, and it's captured on tape. It's the most chilling thing. But again, what do you know about demonic activity? And so, again, talking about that today, I hope that this will be something that, A, you won't fear, but B, you will put to use some of this knowledge and understanding today, that it will expand maybe your horizon. If the spiritual realm makes you a little uncomfortable, start to become more comfortable with it, right? So a few things that I want to talk about today would be these. When it comes to demons, demons can exist outside or inside of humans. Now, that may be a simple thought that you've never really you know, investigate it. But Mark 5:12, right? The demons are begging Jesus in this confrontation in Mark 5. The demons beg Jesus to send him among the pigs and allow them to stay in that region, right? So here we see demons possessing a man, right, who lived among the tombs and all that. You know that story. And then Jesus casts them out. So they're inside humans for a brief moment. They're outside of humans, and then they enter a bunch of pigs again. And why am I bringing that up? It's kind of interesting because I just want to be able to have us understand that this fight for the human soul is very, very real, right? And we do battle with demons. We see Jesus at that moment having a spiritual battle with demons. And so then I say, if you know your enemy, pretty soon you will be thinking differently about maybe confrontations that you get involved with. And I was thinking about that, you know, when you get into arguments with individuals. Are you arguing with a person, or does it go deeper than that, right? And that may be a chilling thought to you, but I, you know, stories of you know, little girls who are demon-possessed, throwing around grown men with the power that is possessing them. And that's, again, a pretty chilling thought. You know, people always used to say when The Exorcist came out, pretty scary movie. But some of that, there was much research put into that movie, which made it, you know, very uncomfortable for people to watch. But some of those realities we need to deal with and acknowledge. We need to be mindful that when battles arise and we are found fighting, who are we fighting? Because demons can exist inside humans. Another thing that I guess I want us to think about today is that they can travel at will, right? Demons can travel at will. They're not subject to natural barriers. So, you know, when the church is locked up, guess what? They can still get in here. You know, concrete and wood and those things are irrelevant to them, right? And then that's why we pray that God would always protect this place before our services and when it comes to services. And we're always praying over our property and asking that it would be holy ground, right? That demons would flee. And that people who are attending, that if there is something within them, that the junk would be checked at the door, that there'd be nothing allowed on this property that would be of demonic nature, right? We ask that the demons would flee. We do those things because they're not bound by the physical like we are. They're a spiritual being. Remember that, right? So that's a good thing to understand, that you can lock your doors. Demons can still enter, right? I remember one time, in particular, I was asked to deal with a couple, and we were doing some marriage counseling, and I could see that there was deeper issues. It was one of those moments where I said, you know what, I would like to pray through your home and ask God's blessing upon your home. At that time, they told me, well, you know what, somebody already did, and they gave me a name of a gentleman that did not give me much confidence, and I expressed that concern. I said, you know what, I understand that you had so-and-so pray over your property and pray over this building. And I was really inside sad that this person was involved. Spiritually, I did not see fruit. I saw chaos. I saw pain. I saw hate. I saw terrible things in that individual. And again, not wanting to talk about anybody, I simply expressed a concern to say, you know, is it wrong? Can you have too much prayer over a home? Like at that moment, I was going, please let me pray over this place. I want your permission. And they kind of said, no, so-and-so was here the other day, and they already prayed through the home. And I said, well, do you know that worked? Did they pray in the name of Jesus? And they said, oh, it worked. You know what? When we were all here, everything was silent. And as that individual prayed, we heard the front door open and then close again because that person commanded whatever it was here to leave. And I asked a very simple question. I said, did something leave or did something come in? Because that's how uncomfortable I was with the name of the individual who was praying, right? And sadly, the next week, it wasn't a week later, the husband in this particular relationship tried to kill his wife right there in that same kitchen that I was denied prayer in, right? Of course, I wanted to pray, but there comes this ability where we are given free will and we are given choice. And you know what? In honoring that, of course, I prayed for that couple and I prayed for that home. But there had to be a willingness to receive the blessing of God. It's kind of pretty strange when we think about all of those things. So remember, demons are not bound to the physical like we think we are, right? That they can travel at will, and we need to be mindful of that. That's why I always tell people, pray over your things. Things can be dedicated to God Almighty, right? Your home and your properties and that sort of thing. Another thing that I just want us to think about today is that demons are able to communicate, right? That's why oftentimes when I'm praying against, spiritual forces, when it comes to this idea of war, I pray that there would be chaos in their communication, right? And again, thinking back to that story, we already referred to it today, the man who was naked in the tombs. Demons, they talked to Jesus, right? When he came on site, they said, oh, don't send us out of this region. Don't make us leave. And then they chose the pigs. They had that communication, right? They speak to mankind, which is kind of an interesting thing to think about, right? 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Demons speak, right? Demons whisper to you. Demons scream at you, depending upon, what the occasion is, right? Sometimes they want to simply evoke fear and paralyze you and keep you from moving forward because of fear. So again, they sometimes will be scary, right? But there's other times where they are whispering in the shadows. Like again, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, but Kirtland talked about his friend hearing laughter coming from the back seat of his car, like this evil roar, and it scared the junk out of him. you think about that, but that was the plan, to make him uncomfortable, to make him doubt, to make him fearful, right? And you think of those moments when those things happen, we must remember that demons do communicate. They communicate to one another. They try to communicate to you. Who is their commander in chief? He is called the father of lies. They try to lie to you. They try to whisper to you. They try to discourage you. They try to tell you that you're less than. And so if they are able to communicate, that's why I say take the authority and in the name of Jesus, command them to leave and combat their lies with truth, right? When we pray that there would be chaos in their communication efforts, right? When we feel like we are under attack, pray that chaos over them, right? And so think about those things, when you are finding yourself in a spiritual battle, those truths can really make a difference, even if it's just bringing us clarity, right? Another thing that I just want to point out, again, demons have separate identities, right? Jesus in Luke 11, which is kind of a cool story to read, and I want to encourage you to go back and read it, but in Luke 11, he casts out demons from a man, and he was mute. The demons were making him mute. He couldn't speak. Right? And then Jesus comes on the scene, he casts demons out, and everybody hears this man speak for the first time, and people are freaked out, and then they start to question Jesus, right, because it's a miracle, and they're like, wow, how did this happen? And Jesus tells us a little about demonic activity, right? So again, Luke 11, you can go back and read the whole story, but I want to read verses 23 to 26. It says this, it says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of the person is worse than the first. So again, Jesus is kind of teaching a little bit about demonic behavior, right? And it's this idea that there are those, even in his time, that were casting out demons, in his name that the demons didn't recognize, right? They weren't doing it in the power of God. People were just trying to, everybody was trying to be part of the freak show and sell themselves as a magician or, someone of power and fighting for, religious right and all that sort of stuff. So this is one time in particular where people who see this miracle start to question Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He kind of addresses this. And it's interesting because when he was confronting the demon, right, he says that this demon is cast out, but that's they're not satisfied with that, right? That they will come back and they will check out the house. And if the house is in order, swept clean, Jesus kind of refers it to, that they can go back and get seven others to help, right? And then the person will be worse off than before. They're separate identities, right? So when we think about demonic activity, we see that. We see individual demons. We see many demons working together, you know, in that story of the man who lived among the tombs, right? We are legion. We are many. So we need to understand that they're separate identities. Like sometimes when we are discouraged, right, we can address that demon of discouragement. When we are depressed, we can come against those thoughts, and we understand how that particular demon may work in some of his identity, and that gives us an edge when it comes to the idea of battle. Right? Another thing that story shows is not just that they have separate identities, but they work together, right? You see here one making bigger plans, right? And thinking strategically, we need to know, you know, if something changes in our life, if all of a sudden the battle seems to be greater, the heat seems to come on even stronger, we need to understand that maybe there is more demonic activity helping, which again should make you alert and say, why in the world is the enemy attacking me on this front? It's obviously important, or they wouldn't be wasting their numbers there, but they do attack in numbers. And they are reactionary. And if they are reactionary, shouldn't we be reactionary? Right? If they can revisit the house, like Jesus says there, and they find out that the house has been put in order, well, then they revisit it with even greater numbers. That shows that they don't give up easily. That they can come back again and again. And so not only should you, you know, when we find victory in an area of our life, then we should be fortifying that area and never again taking it for granted. Because the enemy doesn't take it for granted. He's willing to revisit those things. So don't ever think that you got it under control, all right? Control is that illusion that gets us into trouble. We need to be obedient. We need to be surrendering those things to God the Father always. Even if you say, you know what, I haven't had a trouble with drinking in years. Okay, but if you had trouble with drinking at one time, don't assume that it's over. The enemy could revisit that. You know, at any moment you see those red flags, I hope that you would be understanding that you could be under attack, and the individual that attacked you 10 years ago, it may not just be them. He may have called in reinforcements, right, and brought stronger individuals with him, or at least in number, to do damage again. So again, that idea, like this is another thought. It's not just that they have separate identities, right, and that they can call upon each other for help, demonic activity, but they also vary in degrees of wickedness, right? So again, that story that we just looked at in Luke 11, right, the one demon brings his buddies, and that's, you know, terrifying if you're not prepared for it in one sense, but he brings those who are even more evil than himself. So again, even those battles that may be won relatively quickly, you still need to be aware and alert in those areas of your life. Never take anything for granted, right? You know, I've seen so many spiritual giants in my life all of a sudden fall. And the question is always the same in the church. How did this happen? Well, it happened because all of a sudden they let their guard down. All of a sudden they had secret sin that they stopped dealing with, they stopped praying about. Maybe something that came back and revisited them, like we see that habitual sin, a reoccurring sin. Like, we need to be mindful that even in our victories, then fortify that territory and make sure that you are committing that area of your life to God the Father and to the obedience of whatever he would ask, right? Being mindful of who we fight and how many we fight, and that's important. In Mark 9:29 says, this kind cannot be cast out by anything but prayer. Now, that's a simple verse, but in context of this idea, that kind come out only by prayer, right? So there's those moments where you have these encounters where in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave, right? Like that story that even I told, get out. In those moments, the enemy can flee. But there are some, again, indicating that there is a greater degree of wickedness in some demonic activity, is a strength level, so to speak, right? That we need to battle in prayer, and it's not a simple, quick prayer. It seems that it's going to be a process. It's going to be, praying through, and it's going to take some time and cause some sacrifice, right? It reminds us the varying abilities and strengths, right? There's different kinds for sure, but they come at you in different strategies, and you need to be aware of that. Some need more prayer than others, right? Again, those battles, that's why we talk about accountability, that you at times absolutely should be calling upon mentors and spiritual advisors and having brothers and sisters joining you in prayer, right, against the enemy. It's all relative, right? So hopefully, again, if I was to ask you, what do you know about your enemy? What you know, I pray, today is way more than you knew 2 months ago when we started this series. But I want us to always be learning and be aware, you know, and be sharing and be praying and be lifting one another and being in the Holy Scriptures and understanding spiritual warfare a whole lot better. As I kind of think of finishing up a little bit today, I there's two mistakes that I see. And oftentimes they're fatal mistakes in the church. And I want to talk to us as individuals, right? Again, as an individual, as a believer in Christ, there are times when I find Christians are found listening to the demons. Don't do that. Like, I just want to amplify this, right? Because this is a fatal mistake. That we understand the truth is that demonic activity is filled with lies, right? Again, the commander-in-chief, Lucifer, Satan, is called the father of lies. That's one of his titles, right? And no demon has truth in them. Now, here's the interesting thing. They do know truth, and they'll twist truth. But whatever they have to say should never take root in the life of a believer. You know, and sometimes as I talk with Christians, and we throw these things back and forth when we're discipling and different things, they'll say, well, what if I get tricked? Right, that one question that always comes up, well, what if I commit the unpardonable sin? And I'm going, hold on, right? If you commit the unpardonable sin, you won't even worry about it because you'll have committed it, right? This blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you'll say, leave me alone, and that's the end of the conversation. Well, at that point, you won't care. So if somebody is worried that they've committed the unpardonable sin, I know that they haven't, right? Because they wouldn't be worried about it otherwise. But it's this same kind of principle that they say, what if the enemy tricks me? Again, okay, if you are worried about that, then why are you not spending more time knowing the good shepherd's voice? Right? My sheep, they know me. They know my voice. Like all of those scriptures, this idea that we should be knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit so well, it should be so familiar to us that counterfeits will stick out like a sore thumb, right? And again, the lies, even the lies that are truth that's twisted, if we know Scripture, then guess what? We will know when something doesn't sound right. That's the only way that we can understand that type of Scripture, right? And so I want to challenge you in that too, that if things are contrary to Scripture or if the voice is different from the Good Shepherd, then stop listening, right? Like we get caught in those battles that we should never be in. We get caught in those arenas that we should never be in. We get caught considering things that we should never consider, and we should not be listening to demons, right? Another fatal mistake that I see, and this bugs me a lot, is when I see believers arguing with demons. Now, this is different than listening, right? Like we try to argue with them. We try to reason. We try to even, you know what? I'm gonna truth. But we keep the conversation going. I just want you to be reminded that when you're arguing with a demon, right? Their choice is already made, right? Their souls are not redeemable. You know, we need to stop wasting time in conversation with the demonic. Like, we need to state truth, and you should know truth because you should have the Holy Scriptures hidden in your heart, and that should be the end of the conversation, right? When we start to argue in our mind, right, we simply give them the attention that they're demanding, right? So again, why are we wasting time, right? That old saying that the problem of arguing with the fool is that onlookers may not know which one is the fool in time, right? So don't argue with fools, right? And I think that this idea of even having a wrestling match with the demonic is just foolish. They have no truth, so stop arguing, right? And so all of that, I guess those are the two cautions that I kind of wanted us to be thinking about today. You know, I want us to be prepared to know what to do before it's needed, right? That's part of this whole idea of becoming a warrior, of being an athlete in training, all of those ideas that the scripture gives us, that we need to be preparing for the battles before they ever come. We need to use our authority in Jesus' name. And we need to get used to that. We need to understand that there's no hesitation whenever we need to pray in faith, right? That no, you can't touch me. I'm a child of the King. Like, we need to be able to have that authority and available to us in a moment's notice, that there's less reaction time, right? That we need to speak in the name of Jesus. We don't need to let fear rule over us. Again, just a spiritual discipline that when you are given the choice of fear and faith, my land, choose faith, right? If fear controls you, then you shouldn't be satisfied there, right? And if fear controls you, then faith can't lead you. So if you see fear creeping into your life or surrounding you or coming close to you, then I hope that you would be doing battle with that issue before it becomes too great an issue, or before you find yourself in a mess. There's this old story of a family that's riding in a car, and we've all been there, right? Family trips, and all of a sudden a bee comes into the window, and the kid is just screaming, "Ah, Dad, the bee!" Right? "I don't want to be stung!" Ah! And all of a sudden the father grabs the bee in his hand, and then he says, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And then he lets the bee go. Right, and the kid's freaking out again. "Dad, it's gonna sting me! It's gonna sting me! Ah, why did you let it go?" And he says, "Don't worry." Right, and then he shows his child that the stinger is already in his hand. Right, so now that bumblebee can't hurt him anymore. We need to get to that place where we understand that God Almighty has already won the war. And when that confidence is our foundation, then the battles, we'll see way more victories in the battles. You know, I don't want us getting lost in power encounters, right? Because of the one who lives within you, it's no longer Andrew that lives, but Christ that lives in Andrew, right? The Holy Spirit living within me, I outrank all evil. And it's only because of who dwells within me, right? So those power encounters, right, they shouldn't be power encounters. What they should become is truth encounters. So that when you are under attack and the enemy is trying to lie to you, you already have truth hidden in your heart in boldness as a foundation. And then all of a sudden, those power encounters are not power encounters. They're truth encounters. And we proclaim truth, and that's the end of it. You know, that's why we're told to hide God's word in our heart so that we wouldn't sin, right? At any moment that we should be able to be proactive in the calling upon the Holy Spirit and the hosts of heaven. We should know those truths. We should be reading the word of God. We should be studying it, memorizing it. We should be living lives of prayer. Remember that the enemy is always trying to destroy, right? But we have very real tools to be used against him, right? We should never be living in fear. Fear not, right? So let me do this. Let me pray this morning. Lord, I just want to say thank you for this series. And Lord, I pray that people would be getting to know you so much better, that people would be understanding who our Commander-in-Chief is, that our desire for you would grow, would be out of control, our desire for you. And Lord, in that understanding, I pray that we wouldn't shy away from the spiritual realm, but we'd be understanding, you know, who our enemy is and what his games are, that we would understand and be able to pick out his strategies. Lord, that you would help us to be alert, Like, we're always called to be watching and waiting. I pray that we would be found there, that we would be on guard and alert and be cautious. And Lord, that you would help us to be the very best warriors that we can be. Lord, this isn't a game. The battle is for eternity. And I pray that that would be very, very real for us today. Lord, I just want to say thank you. I pray that we would be encouraged today. Lord, again, we come against fear in the name of Jesus Christ. If anybody is going, wow, this makes me uncomfortable, this topic, that's okay. I pray that we would become more comfortable with it. Lord, that we would just feel your presence and understand you in a deeper and more personal way. And that we'd start to see things with spiritual eyes to such a greater degree than we do today. So, Lord, be with your bride, be with your church, be with our church, be with the church universal all around the globe, I pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for all of your tools that you make available to us. We want to say thank you for all your love, for all your grace, for all your mercy. We want to say thank you that you've called us to be warriors, and I pray that we would rise to that calling. So thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst. We love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.